It's the Stan Gerard Radio Show here on WREF. I'm Brad Klein. Thank you so much for coming down and tuning in on WREF to the show. It's Spanky's on the west side, right by Schnucks off the Lloyd. And we're here on the ref with head coach Stan Gerard, USI men's basketball head coach. Round of applause.
Thank you.
So, got a couple of things to break down outside of USI basketball. A couple of games. UT Martin, Southeast Missouri off the road trip. But, you know, there was a big game last night, and I'm kind of curious about your thoughts on it. The Super Bowl. Did you make it all the way through?
I did.
For the game.
Yeah,
it was a bit of a snooze fest of a game.
It was. That was a boring game, but I think I had a nephew plays for the the Patriots, yeah. You know, so I stayed up and watched. So yeah, so it was pretty cool to see, man. I had some family at the game last night,
yeah,
and they were sending pictures and things of that nature, and kind of like throwing it in my face that I wasn't there. But I'm happy for everybody, man. But very boring game for me, man.
If you had gotten tickets through the family,
I don't think I would have went.
No.
I would have stayed at home, man. Too many people.
Okay,
too
so many people. I'm just kind of curious. Now, your nephew plays in the secondary for the Patriots.
Correct, yeah.
Okay. Yep. And he's what kind of tickets is he getting?
I don't know. I just
saw. Well, they're sending you photos, right?
Well, they were, looked like they were just getting in the building. You know what I mean?
I don't know.
But he had some video of him on the field, I think pre-Super Bowl game, and he was doing a lot of interviews, so it was pretty cool.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
The Super Bowl, that was decided a couple of days ago at this point. If you're listening on the radio, tape delay show. But, of course, talking about USI basketball, yeah. And this past weekend, we'll start with UT Martin, a loss against the Skyhawks. Now, granted, Coach, that's the best team in the OVC right there, and that is a team that, as you call them, team of grown-ass men. Right?
Because of, I didn't say the A word, but.
Oh, should I not have said that?
Yeah, you're going to get in trouble, man.
Uh-oh. Grown men.
No, I did say that, but not on air, man. I did say that.
No,
and that's what
they
are. You've
got more strength than me.
Yeah, that's what they are, man. Well, I don't have any strength. Should have been in that locker room, man. But, both teams over the week was really good. SEMO was good as well as Martin. And those are my two teams I picked to win it all, you know, if we don't figure ourselves out. But T. Martin, man, they just did a wonderful job of exposing us, you know, with their size and their ability to shoot the basketball. Man, they shot the heck out of the basketball, even better than they did in game one. And, going into halftime down, 12 points, I thought we moved the ball really well in the first half. In the second half, we, just like in both games, we didn't do a great job moving the basketball.
You know, you mentioned the second half, and I think, you know, the move of the basketball thing, point taken. I think a lot of people are thinking, oh, man, now the first half they played well, just do the same thing. So
yeah.
What is prohibiting the basketball to be moved at that kind of clip in the second half?
I always say as the legs go and you get tired, the mind goes. You're doing less thinking. You know, Jeremy Schumann, the Martin coach, sent me a text after the game and complimented me on how we moved the ball in the first half. And I said, well, we needed 40 minutes of that, you know what I mean? But, you know, I feel like guys got a little fatigue and started doing it by themselves versus sticking to the game plan in terms of, side the basketball, share the basketball. And, of course, you know, guys not making shots. You go down 8, 10, 12 points, and then guys try to, you know, be creative off the bounce. And Tennessee Martin's, they're too good of a defensive team to be able to beat off the bounce one-on-one because they play probably the best team defense in the league.
Yeah. No, they really do. And like I said, that is a team of grown men, and
yeah.
They're playing a brand of basketball that really no one else in the OVC
right.
is playing,
right.
The international stuff. And I know that Coach Shulman, he was doing that when he was in junior college recruiting
yeah.
the European guys. Why don't more people do that? I feel like that's kind of a proven method at this point.
Before I talk about it, right, they were the number top five team in the country defensively.
Yeah.
Tennessee Martin was, but I can show you the receipt here. I text him. And I told him when he take the Martin jet over to Europe, I want to hop the plane with him, man, and steal some of those guys. And he said, I will connect you with some guys. So, you know, hopefully he stays true to his word, man. Mm. But, man, he's got quite the bunch over there, man. And they hard to play against, but when I watch them against other teams, they're also fun to watch. They play basketball the right way.
Why is their defense so effective? Like you said at the time, actually, I think they were fourth in the nation in scoring
yeah.
defense. What makes them so good? Because in a way, as of now, they're kind of the standard in the Ohio
yeah.
Valley Conference.
Yeah. Well, to be where they are fourth from the national standpoint with team, that just says a lot about the job he's doing and also his players. You know, those guys are – they're alone, first of all. They're big, you know, and they do a great job. They switch five ways, so there's no mismatches inside the post. And they do a good job of loading up in the gaps off the ball, and then the minute the ball is put in the floor – And you try to go, they force you to score from the outside, and you know, we're not a good shooting team right now. When the ball goes inside, you know, they double the post. So they're in tune with each other from a defensive standpoint, and they do a great job of just sticking to their game plan and not try to go outside of their means from a defensive and offensive standpoint.
You know, you mentioned how, as of now, the team is not shooting especially well, and we see that, but I think it's still a little bit surprising just because there are guys on this team that can shoot at a high clip, and I wonder what you think about that as far as, you know, kind of the reason as to why.
It's the kind of shots we take. You know, yeah. If you look at our first half of play, not just on Thursday, but even on Saturday, the first half, we're shooting open jump shots, you know what I mean? We're drawing to, we're kicking out. We're throwing it inside, we're kicking out. But then the second half in both games, we didn't see much of that, you know what I mean? It's guys trying to beat guys off the bounce and shoot tough step back shots. Those are low percentage shots. We've been saying that since day one. And it's nothing we teach, trust me. You know, if you ever see us in practice and like today in skill work, we're not teaching step back jump shots. We're teaching driving kick or you take the open shot. I mean, we do a poor job as players of with our shot selection.
What is there? What's the disconnect in the pick and roll offense? Because I feel like at times, especially Ola, he'll set a lot of screens. Nish or really any other ball carrier, Joe or Sheridan. Will
Did
ask
you say
for
a ball carrier?
Ball handler.
Okay. All right. Okay.
Sorry.
I was just curious.
I was watching football the other night. I'm sorry. And Ola will roll to the rim or even Tolu. And I feel like you guys aren't running pick and roll or running as much pick and roll offense as you have in years past. So is that intentional or unintentional?
Well,
in the game?
It's been more intentional here as of late because, you know, we don't throw the ball and we don't throw it to them. You know, it's the pocket pass is a very easy pass to make. And you saw in game, our second game over the weekend, the first half, I think Amari Brown had five assists.
Yeah.
And it was hitting Ola on the roll, mm-hmm. you know, and we don't exploit that enough. So as of late, we whatever we work it, we're running, wasn't working, so we try to do more of a motion-based offense to get some ball reversals, you know, some harder cuts, and guys just being having a little more patience offensively to score the ball better. And I love the way we played the first half in both games offensively, you know, but it's the second half where we go away from the game plan. But the pick and roll is we always say our guys – can't score out the pick and roll, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's unfortunate, but we got to get these guys to think a little more and play better in space. Ola, Ben, and Devin, they're not back to your traditional back-to-the-basket guys. You think about when we had Polakovic. I don't think you were around when we had Polakovic, but he was a big kid where I wish we had one of those kind of guys to just throw the ball inside and let him go do his thing because he would score or get fouled. You know, now with Ola, they're more space type guys. They like to play in space, and they got to set pick and we got to set screen and rolls rather, and get those guys in space to try to score the basketball. But our guards have to do a better job of you know, hitting that pocket pass and giving these guys a chance to score, because I think that's been one of our biggest problems is, you know, we're a guard or any team, but we got to play and use our big guys more in those pick and roll spaces.
You know, it's funny because you're absolutely right about the bigs being untraditional bigs, right? In the sense that they like to play facing the basket, they're more space guys. It could be said for Ola, especially Tolu. I mean, Tolu, he practices with the guards, right? And he's your starting power forward.
Well, not anymore.
We've seen him. Oh, not anymore.
We're going to move him back. Yeah, he went 107 on Saturday. So we got to get him down there with the bigs a little bit, man, to finish around the basket. But go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, but he's been practicing with the guards.
Yeah.
And but I will give him credit because from a shooting standpoint, he's been especially better at the free throw line. And the numbers on his turnaround are actually really special. I mean, he started the year, he was below 50%.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Really since the turn of the year, since the start of January, he's been closer to 70%. I don't even know if you know how great the turnaround has been. I don't know what you did or what you said, but it's working.
Well, I didn't know it was that big of a turnaround. I knew what there was a turnaround. And, you know, you give him credit. You know, he's coming in and getting extra shots up. And he took that a little personal, man, when he was missing, because he's a much better shooter than what he was doing, what he was displaying, rather, back before Christmas. And we shoot a lot of free throws in practice, of course. But what we try to do in practice is fatigue him, you know what I mean, get him tired and then shoot. And then we also challenge him to then practice free throws for sprints. Now, if that doesn't make you make a free throw, what will? Because if you don't make them in practice, we'll run through sprints. But, you know, you give him credit. You know, he saw a weakness in his game, and he came in and worked on it and improved from a percentage standpoint. And I give him credit for that.
Now, I don't want to get him in trouble or anything like that, any NCAA violation or anything like that out there.
It's going to be one.
A friendly wager. Nothing crazy. Nothing happened. But I challenged him to a free throw shooting contest. I was feeling really good about myself, which was a mistake. Just trying to figure out, hey, Tolu, out of 10, who's going to make more? He won. Thank God.
Did you let him win?
No. I made 4 out of 10, which, you know I'm telling the truth.
I wouldn't tell nobody that if I were you.
I'm trying to be honest, okay? I made 4
right,
out of 10.
Right, right.
I'm wearing a sweater and khakis. What do you want from me? He went 8 of 10. So,
that's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
So he beat me, unfortunately. Yeah. And I feel like.
Was that at Tennessee State?
No. Okay. It was after Tennessee State.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I just know it was after State. So, yeah, he beat me, and I'll give him credit for that. And, again, no NCAA violation needed because it was just a friendly wager. But, you know, there was that. So.
Okay.
And it was funny because I challenged him to, let's say, out of 10 free throws, and he goes, but you're not going to make any. Why would I do this? And so I shot first, and I swear, I shot first. And, again, no money exchanged, so it's okay. But
I made the first three. Yeah, there you go.
I made the first three.
Okay.
And then I went ice cold from there, and I said something to the tune of, hey, I'm more of a cash guy, no Venmo needed or something like that.
Yeah.
And then I made one of the next 7, and that was it. But, no, but Tolu really has been a lot better. So you're going to move him back to practicing with the centers. Was he ever practicing with the bigs?
He did in the summer a little bit, and it was, you know, back in early season, we'll give him some guard reps and some reps with the bigs as well, just mix it up. And there's a couple of times where I made him go down with the bigs, and he was not happy about it, you know what I mean? But he's got to be better around the rim. He's a much better finisher around the rim. He plays small. You probably see that when he gets around those bigger guys, the ball is down at his shoulder, and he's just throwing it up there, hoping to get the rebound, you know what I mean, so he can put it back. See, leading the league in rebounding. But he's got to play bigger. And, you know, hopefully, you know, what we're doing this week with him will translate into the game on Thursday, Saturday.
Why are bigs nowadays, especially in college basketball, so reluctant to play big?
Man,
everyone wants to shoot.
You know, Brad, it drives me crazy, man. I'm an old-school kind of guy. And if you were 6'8 or taller, you're probably going to be around the basket. Now these – I blame that on Kevin Durant, LeBron James.
Yeah.
You got 7-footers handling the basketball. Dirk Nowitzki, all those guys are trying to handle the basketball. And if I'm 6'11", Devin Curtis, you know, I know I can go make some money playing basketball in the post instead of shooting jump shots.
Yeah, there's that.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's a way to do it. And unfortunately, I can't do any of it, so I feel like I can't really be critical of it. But regardless, we're talking.
Depends on levels.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Put me in a pee wee game right now.
Yeah,
you'll
be a good center. Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying. Depends on levels, man.
Kind of, I'm a center. I'm a power forward.
You'll be
like
a center,
that.
Man.
You think?
Yeah.
All right, that's good to hear. Again, we're talking about this past weekend, UT Martin and Southeast Missouri. This is the Stangeron Radio Show here on WREF at Spanky's. We'll take a step aside. A lot to talk about from this last SEMO game. When we return, don't go anywhere. And we're back on the Stan Gerard Radio Show here on WREF at Spanky's on the west side, right by Schnucks off the Lloyd. Stan Gerard, the USI men's basketball coach, is here on the ref and I'm Brad Klein. All right, so we're talking about Screaming Eagle basketball, a couple of losses from this past weekend. Talked about UT Martin. There's a lot to break down, Coach, from the SEMO game. Now, I told you during the break, hey, let's talk about the fight. And you seem to think that that does not quite qualify as fights.
No, I've been in some games where there were fights. That was not a fight. That was a shoving contest, you know,
a
so to speak.
Scuffle.
Yeah, yeah.
A little kerfuffle.
That wasn't even a scuffle, Brad. It got a little physical.
Yeah.
You know, the problem is they responded and we didn't. You know what I mean? From that point on, they just go in the 19-0 run. You know, we out of timeouts with 8-9 minutes to go in the game. You know, unfortunate play that Clay made on the young man who was just taking us to the woodshed. He got the best of us in game one and in game two, and then our guys were upset about it. And we tried to make it a physical contest, and we never responded as a team once it got to that point.
Yeah, I know that in the second half, you guys, there was that interval, it was eight and a half minutes without a point. What was so difficult about getting the ball in the basket, getting those open looks?
Eight assists in the first half and seven assists in the first half and one assist in the second half. You know, going back and watching the game over and over again on the bus yesterday before the game, like I said a second ago, the ball got reversed, second sided. We didn't settle for jump shots. We got to the paint. You know, we hit our bigs on the rolls. We drove the gaps and we hit the open guy in the corners. We just shared the basketball at a higher clip than what we did in the first half, and that's what cost us the second half from an offensive standpoint. We turned it over. What, 11 times? We had, what was it, seven assists in the first half?
Yeah.
Finished with eight and 11 turnovers. So that's a huge number. You know, we told our guys at halftime that we've been here before. You know, we had some games where we had seven, eight assists at halftime, and we needed to make sure we duplicate what we did in the first half. And somehow that didn't get processed, you know, to our guys to come out and do it again.
And you're right. I mean, as far as the turning point of the game, it was the shoving match about a minute into the second half. I do want to go back and ask you about that. I know that you were on the other side of the floor. You actually made it underneath the basket where that all happened.
Yeah.
You basically sprinted from the bench to where it all happened. Take me through the progression for you.
Well, those first two steps in transition, man. No, I'm kidding. I just saw when I saw Stephen Clay's around a young man's neck, you know, I knew it was going to go south pretty quick. And I didn't see anybody from SEMO's staff. And they were closer. They just kind of like, let's fight, basically. Yeah. So I went out there and just got my guys out of there so that way we can get back to playing basketball. And it was pretty bad. You know, I ain't going to say pretty bad. What was said was pretty bad, you know, to each other, to the coaches. Coaches, not just their guys to me, but my guys said something. I told my guys, we don't do that. That's not how we operate, you know what I mean? And that escalated. It was pretty bad, but the referees took a few minutes. It just kind of killed the flow of the game, you know what I mean? And then they come out, you know, the first play after the 4 or 5 minute stoppage, they get a lob on a OB play, and then they come back down and score again right away. I feel like that just kind of interrupted our rhythm. Now, we didn't have one. It was really early, but the rhythm we had and the momentum we had coming out of the first half, I thought that was going to bleed into the second half. We always tell our guys coming out of halftime that we got to win the first 4 minutes. You know, that's very critical, you know what I mean? And that's going to set the standard for the remainder of the half, and that broke our rhythm.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned the rhythm. You guys built that in the first half. I mean, Ish had 14 points in 14 minutes off the bench in the first half, ends up with 20 points. He struggled. A lot of people struggled in the second half.
You know,
what was different for
you
him?
You know, it's funny. When we got back Saturday night, I was just doing a walkthrough through the arena, and Ish was in the gym shooting after he got off the bus. And I sat down with him for like 15 minutes, and I said, why did you stop being aggressive the first half? He said, I don't know. You know what I mean? We called his play. We called his number. And then even you think about the play to end the first half when we called a timeout with
seven seconds,
and we put all shooters in and got the ball in his hands and told him to drive it, try to get you to paint, but you got shooters in case. He got a layup in 7 seconds, you know, at the buzzer. And you would have think like he'd have came out more aggressive the second half. If I have 14 points, you didn't see me play, man. But if I had 14 points in the first half, I'm probably going to shoot the ball about every time I get it. And I make the right basketball play. But he just kind of relaxed a little bit. And then when he wanted to get going, it was kind of too late because we had already been down. We was already down, 15, 20 points. We called his number a couple times. Now, granted, you give Seymour credit. Mm-hmm. They adjusted defensively on him. When he came off those screens, they had two guys kind of cover him and dared him to pass the ball, dare him to shoot it. And they did a good job of taking the ball out of his hands, So, and he's got to find ways to pick and choose his spots. We were great in transition in the first half, mm-hmm. and we didn't do a great job in the second half with our transition offense.
What is Josiah's role on this team when Ish is playing well, like in the first half, right? So he started in the game. I think he played the first 5 minutes as the starter, yeah. and then never again in yeah. the first half, is yeah. my recollection.
Yeah, but he was going to back up. Well, he started. Ish was his backup,
yeah.
and we can rotate Josiah to any spot. But it was hard, Brad, to put some of those guys back in the game. We were rolling the first half. We were very efficient. With Amari, Habib, Clay, I think it was a total and Ola, I think it was, or CB. But anyway, we were very efficient offensively. And I just felt like we put a couple guys back in, for example, Sheridan.
Yeah.
I'm always like watching how the offense moves when certain guys go in. And a couple times we put a couple guys in, the offense kind of paused. We was out of rhythm, out of sync. And so it was just one of those instinct things where I thought we were, playing in a pretty good rhythm. I thought the ball was moving. Not that Josiah is a ball sticker,
no.
but those guys did a good job. They were in tune with each other. And Amari Brown had it going. We ran some things, and then Ish had it going. So it's hard to find him a place out there at that point, And thankfully, he's a great team guy, man. He never once wavered or complained about it. He was just waiting for his turn, and when he got in, he was great for us. That lineup is so different, man. I know we talked about this on the bus. We had to switch the lineup up on Thursday because some guys were late to study hall. And so we had to punish guys, and that kind of screwed up the rotation on Thursday night. And hopefully we got it right this week because, like I told those guys, we're never going to sacrifice our academics and character for basketball.
I this might sound like a strange question because especially, Simo, you guys were – leading at halftime, up three at halftime.
Yeah.
You guys were really close against Martin at halftime, too. I know they pulled away maybe at the very end of the first half.
Right.
They had a basket or two, a couple threes from that Danucius kid, the freshman. But I'll ask you this. Halftime is always a pivot point in the game. You guys play really well in the first half, taper off in the second half sometimes. How much of it is contagious from games before where it's happened before where the ball sticks in the second half or the offense dries up in the second half and guys have that? You think guys are thinking about that at halftime?
Well, they're human.
Into the second half?
I would think so because
yeah.
I think about it. Like I said, when I walk into it halftime against SEMO, we've been here before. Let's make sure we do – well, let's model the first half offensively. And then, in every timeout, I get a stat sheet and I'm trying to see if that assist number – increases,
yeah.
and I remember we had one assist, 8 minute mark. We had one assist, 4 minute mark. We had one assist. The ball is not moving, and so they hear it, But we got to do a better job of just if we have something good going, we got to make sure we kind of stick to that and build off of it versus the latter.
I'll get you out of here on this with the SEMO game. Does DC have a sense of humor about the dunk that ended up number three on SportsCenter against him?
He was very quiet today. Let's
yeah.
just say that. But in his defense, Brad, he's a shot blocker.
Oh, yeah.
Patrick Ewing got dunked on a million times trying to block shots. That's just 2 points. I just wish he would have, we were in our press defense, So that kid had a full head of steam coming at him. He should have probably taken a foul versus letting the kid get in the air. But it's 2 points. Great play for the kid. Unfortunate for him that he's on SportsCenter, but he was very quiet in practice today. That was just a great play. That kid was, it's every 6'2" player's dream to dunk on a 6'11" or 7-footer, man. And he fulfilled his dream, of doing that.
I give DC credit, though, because that's, I don't want to call it embarrassing, but that's a play that a lot of people are going to play back. It's on social media. And it might have been the next play on offense. He got a tip dunk, and he was feeling himself for it. But he kept on competing in that regard. And
he did. I think it upset him that those guys, that was a massive celebration. If you remember SEMO, they got those guys on the front row who are, classless guys that said some things to our guys that are not. I always feel like the people with the floor seats should have a little more class. And those guys were saying things, and when that dunk happened, those guys, and rightfully so, they're fans, they let him have it. And when he got his tip dunk, he kind of flexed a little bit. And I looked, I'm like, man, I just hope he get out of his head from that. That play happened, a few minutes ago, and here he is still thinking about that one play. It's just 2 points, you know what I mean? But you got to keep competing no matter how flashy your play is, and that was in his head for a long while, you could tell.
Again, it's the Stan Gerard Radio Show here at Spank. He's got an interesting conversation coming up on the next segment. There's a list from John Rothstein released last week, I believe, ranking the different OVC programs. And we're going to talk about that, where USI is and why, on the other side right here on WREF. And we're back on the Stan Gerard Radio Show here on WREF. I'm Brad Klein at Spanky's on the west side right by Schnucks. They also have a location downtown on Jefferson Avenue. We're talking USI basketball with the head coach himself, Stan Gerard. Now, Coach, I appreciate your time here. A really interesting list from John Rothstein in the field of 68 and trying to figure out if they can compile a ranking of the top OVC coaching jobs. And really what it is programs, the best programs in the OVC, and they did it. And I was wondering about your thoughts on A, where USI is, and B, how to even rank something like that. USI, for those who don't know, coming in at number 5, so right in the middle of the pack. What do you think about all this?
Well, that list is people's opinions on who has what. I was asked to submit my list from Jeff Goodman. Mm. And
that's right, Jeff Goodman, not John Rothstein.
Yeah, Jeff Goodman, yeah. And he was, I'm looking at the text just so I can make sure I'm accurate on what he asked me to do. And this will probably enlighten the fans a little bit. He's just doing a poll on our league, 10 to 15 coaches in every league ranking anonymously of the best and worst jobs in the league. And it's completely up to you how you factor or rank. So he didn't give us any categories of how to rank. Is it facilities? Is it administration? Is it money? I don't know. But it was up to me to put in categories and why do I think who such. But I didn't participate. I just told him I'd rather not comment on jobs, other people's jobs in OVC. I don't want to make any negative judgments on any of the programs. I just know what we have. That was my comment. In his text message, I sent him back. So, and then here comes this list here. And I talked to Schumann at Martin. I think he participated, and he talked about he based his on NIL, facilities, fan base, administration, travel, all kinds of categories, which is very, very black and white. You should have, if he's going to do it, he should have gave some people some categories to, you know, to talk through. But I didn't participate because I don't know. I only know what we have, you know what I mean? I only know what we offer, have to offer here. I don't know what anybody else has here from a standpoint of dollars or anything of that nature. So, you know, I was reading some of the comments, and it's just funny how some people make some comments about that particular list on, like, I saw one comment, they have the right people in place to make it all operate. You don't know that because you're not inside, you know what I mean? You're not inside of athletics. So people make so many comments about the list, you know, which is weird.
It's interesting because to your point, you say, well, I only know what we have. What do we have as far? I'm not even questioning. Oh, what do we have? What do we have as far as where we rank in the OVC in facilities and structure and NIL and whatever? I know that we have great administration. I know that the facilities really are, in my opinion, I think we have the best arena in the OVC. But how do you feel about where we are as far as what the program needs as far as resources go to succeed in the OVC?
That list is way off base, you know what I mean? I don't think that list is accurate at all. You know, you look at, you know, I think one person based it on how the program is doing, and they have Lindenwood way down on the bottom down there. You know, Lindenwood has football, so they're a different, from my standpoint, they're a different level from a financial standpoint than other teams, you know what I mean? You've been around the league. You know, you just said it. We have the best facilities in the league, you know what I mean? Are we there yet with everything else? Not yet, but I think we are very close to being where we want to be. And but that's part of the process in terms of making this four-year commitment, or this four-year jump, rather. The transition period from D2 to D1. That takes time, you know, and some teams take a little longer. Some teams hit the ground running. And I feel like we have everything we need to make this thing work out and get us in the right place from a basketball standpoint.
Now, I'd never ask you for exact dollar figure, because I feel like it gets kind of sensitive, but where is USI as far as NIL coffers go, ranking it relatively to the other OVC teams?
Like I said, I don't know what we have, and I'm dancing around your question, honestly, man. I don't want to throw that number out there. Is it where I want it to be? No, but if you ask any coach the same question,
right,
everybody wants $1 million, Brad. You know what I mean? And we don't have that, you know what I mean? But we work with what we have, you know, and we'll figure it out, you know what I mean? You see guys in our program that come and go, and you're probably going to talk about a couple guys later, but, you know, this league, not just USI, this league is a stepping stone, you know, unfortunately for guys that come in here and chase bigger dollars elsewhere. You know, that's what's happening right now, and we have to, you know, I guess – you know, get us in a good enough place financially so that way we can retain some guys, you know what I mean? But I feel like, you know, this is your a few years at this level, and I feel like we in a really good place financially, and we're going to continue to grow that number so that way we can, you know, go after some bigger targets.
You know, forget about USI for a second. I saw this list, and they really did frame it as best jobs in the OVC. Yeah. I'm trying to frame it more as programs in the OVC. I feel like that's just a little bit more tasteful, I guess.
Yeah.
Because I saw that and I thought, man, what if someone ranked my job? I wouldn't like that. That must have been weird for you, was it?
No, not at all, man. I know these guys have a job to do, man. I don't read social media too much. I just happened to read comments the other day because I was curious about that list, but I don't get into the social media, the comments, and things like that. You know, you got a job to do. The beat writers have a job to do. Jeff Goodman has a job to do. That's why I didn't comment, because that's not who I am. I just keep my nose to the ground, do my job. If I get caught up into what people are saying and what I'm reading, I'll be insane, man, because, you know, people are going to write what they want to write or say what they do. I don't read that stuff, man, so it's just all junk to me.
See, but no comment. That's about the worst answer you can give a guy like me. So just saying.
It's all good. And you can write your own ending, and I will not comment. If you say something,
can't be doing that.
Good or bad, man, about me, I don't care. I told my guys in practice a few weeks ago, they were all upset at me because something happened in practice, and they were all mad at me. And I said, you know what, guys, you don't have to like me. And if you don't, I don't care. Stand in line, man. There's other people who don't, man. So I have thick skin, man.
Is that list long?
I'm sure it is, but, you know, I don't care who's on it, you know what I mean? But it's just part of it, man. I signed up for this job to do this job, man, and people are going to have their say or their comments. I'm one of those guys, too, man. Like, I get it. You know, when my nephews played high school basketball before I got into coaching, man, I had a comment, man, but I learned to shut my mouth. Even with my daughter's volleyball.
Well.
Yeah, she was playing a few weeks ago. And she got benched in the second set in the semifinals game. I didn't say one word to the coach.
Good for you.
And she comes over and gave me a look like, why did I get benched? Well, you wasn't playing good enough. So do something about it. And I'd never had one conversation with the coach because she's a coach. I respect what she's doing. And, That's that. We got to live with it.
I think if I were coaching, even if it were like Little League, and I know that this is not a Little League volleyball level. This is club. This is high level. If I was coaching Little League and there was a little boy on my team whose father was a coach, I'd be worried. Right, I'd be worried about a coach, or the father coaching over my shoulder.
No, you got to worry about
that type of thing.
Not me.
Yeah.
Not me. You ain't got to worry about me, man. I've been doing this long enough to know that, you know, coaches put so many hours into this thing, man, and I trust coaches, and I will never, ever, you know, get in the way of a coach trying to coach my kid. So, now, I was just telling a friend a couple nights ago, like, he's dealing with some parents right now, and he's a high school coach. And I said, man, if it makes you feel any better, it happens at our level too. You know, parents are, they always call them, but I don't talk much basketball with her. I will talk about academics and other stuff, but not the basketball stuff. That's not fair to the kid. And I will never punish a kid because his mom or dad called about minutes. You know what I mean? I would never do that.
Again, we're here on WRF, and we're here at Spanky's on the west side, right by Schnucks off the Loin. Just the Stan Gerard radio show here on WRF. We'll take a step aside. Back in a moment. Don't go anywhere. And we're back on the Stan Gerard Radio Show here on WREF. I'm Brad Klein on the west side at Spanky's right off the Lloyd, right by Schnucks. And they also have a location downtown on Jefferson Avenue. Still a lot to talk about with Stan Gerard on the Stan Gerard Radio Show, talking USI basketball. Also this Jeff Goodman list in the Field of 68, ranking the top programs in the OVC, not by record, but by attributes, by NIL and facilities and administration and all the structure that goes into building a college basketball program. They had USI at number 5. Coach abstained from voting, which I respect, by the way. But, you know, there's one thing we were talking about is the NIL, that's a work in progress, new to Division One. We get that. But the facilities, indisputably, we have the best arena in the OVC. Am I biased? Yes, but do I still believe it? I absolutely do. Yeah. I wonder how important that is when you're recruiting guys, and they see it. They see it's a nice venue, and you've got the ribbon banner, and that looks really cool. How important is that to guys nowadays?
Well, I think it's only important to guys that are coming up from lower levels. Mm-hmm. You know, like a guy like Amari Brown loves the venue. You know what I mean? But you know, several recruits we had last year, we were trying to host on visits. Don't need to visit. How much money am I going to make? That's the only question, the only thing they worry about. They don't care about the facilities. And that's hard, man, because that was one of our biggest selling points, right? You know, to come here, take a look around, and so we can show off what we have, the fingerprint access to the locker room, the ribbon board, like you said, a jumbotron, and then the locker room itself is a whole nother thing we can show our guys. But they don't care about that. You know, they want to get to the meats and bones of what they want, and that's money. And so many guys, even not just here, so many guys at other places commit sight unseen because of the dollar sign. You know what I mean?
Well, there were a couple of guys, correct me if I'm wrong, that that you guys recruited without a visit this year, right?
Yeah. Amari didn't visit. Ben didn't visit. Let me go down the line here. Clay had visited one, but those two guys, sure, they didn't visit at all. They just took a look online and found out how much they could possibly make with all the things we have in place, and sight unseen.
You know? I still think it's really important to have elite facilities, and I really believe that you guys do, especially in the context of the OVC. And the other stuff is catching up. The good news is that arena, it ain't going anywhere. That's going to be there for a long time.
Exactly.
And you guys had that contract with Liberty, and that's going to stay, and that's not going to hurt you. So, you know, that's really interesting. And talking about the roster, that some guys care about it, some guys don't care as much about it. With that, it kind of translates into the upcoming weekend. And we have Senior Day coming up, believe it or not, even though we're really not that close to the end of the season. Got those two road weekends to end the OVC. It's pretty wild.
Yeah.
So you got the last home weekend coming up, Tennessee State on Thursday, Tennessee Tech on Saturday. And you got Senior Day, and all four of the guys are newcomers for you. So sending off guys that spent a few months, I guess, 30 games on campus, and that's about it. That's got to be kind of weird for you as a coach.
Yeah, my wife and I talked about this a couple of days ago. Man, I missed a day where you have guys around for 3 or 4 years. You get to know them, and Senior Day in the locker room is tears because you're going to – man, I miss that kind of stuff because I'm a big – I'm a relationship type guy. I want to know who my guys are. Now, I do know them, but not like I really want to know them because it's not much time. You know what I mean? These guys are in and out of the gym. You know, a lot of these guys are in online classes. You know, I know prior to coming here when I was at Indy, guys were in classes in person. They walk by the office, come in, sit down, watch film with you, go to lunch sometimes. But that's the thing of the past now, man. These guys are in and out pretty quickly. And the four guys we have are great guys, man, and they'll all graduate with a USI degree. And I'm happy they came here, but I'm also really excited about what's going to happen in the near future for these guys because they all are pretty good guys.
Yeah, before we talk about the guys, you're talking about how you missed the days of tears on senior days, culmination of 4 years. I guess Jack Milkey would have fit that category.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I don't know if
you
were crying on Milkey's senior day or anything like that.
We had our moments, man. I don't think I was crying, but I was very emotional because he was a four-year guy.
Do you believe you're going to have another four-year guy?
We on year two with Josiah.
I would hope so.
And Gilhausen. So I would hope so, and I would hope to bring in, you know, next year at least two or three young guys to, you know, just trying to get some to build the culture a little bit better than what it is right now. You know, when I had my better teams, we had guys that was around the program 2, 3, 4 years, and it was – much easier for those guys who've been around because they're vested in the program, and we need more guys like that. These guys now who are in and out in 1 year are not quite vested as a 4 year guy would be. And you know, we're bringing 12 new guys this year. I know we have four 13. Seniors, but 13.
I think
I know we have four seniors, but you know that portal is going to be opening up in 15 days, man. I mean, 15 days rather, not in 15 days, man. And that's a huge concern.
Yeah, it is. And how quickly after the season does it open? Do you know off the top of your head?
I don't have the exact date, but, man, 15 days. I'm glad they shortened the window, but 15 days, man, it's kind of scary because those 15 days, you kind of worried about who's going to come and go. And the crazy part about it is you last year we found out some guys were transferring without coming to talk to us. They can go in and do it without talking to the coach first. They go online. Tapping their information and here we are in the portal, you know. Yeah. So I hate the portal. I'm not gonna lie to you. I hate the portal. I wish we could do something about it.
I know it. I don't know if there really is any putting the genie back in the bottle. You know, it's funny because I'm not going to tell you who, but unnamed sources have in the past heard me ask this question and have called, as the kids say, they've called Cap because you dance around the question. Talk about this. You dance around the question pretty well, but I'm going to ask the same question I've asked in the past. Transfer portal, NIL, when you were playing, if you were playing today, how much would your NIL be worth? Now, in the past, you've said, well, I was loyal to Pearl and I wasn't going to go, and I respect that. What would the market have bared for you and your services
today? I like back then, like, my parents were solid financially.
Come on now.
No, seriously, they were solid financially, and I want to win. You know what I mean?
Asking how much it would have taken to get you away from USI.
Yeah.
How much would the offers have been
I don't
for
know.
You to leave
I
USI?
I don't know, man. I don't know. I don't know, man. I don't know. But I know one thing, man. I like winning more than money. You know what I mean? And at least back then, you know. But I like winning, man. And I want to make I wanted to make sure that, you know, our teams back then were in a good place. I'll never forget when Coach Pearl was going to – he had considered going to Murray State. And I heard about it, and I walked to his office. This is going into my senior season. And I walked into his office and begged him to stay because I came because of him. And thankfully, he stayed.
We went pretty cool. You have left?
If he'd have left, well, no, because Coach Hurtis probably would have took over the program.
Yeah.
And he's like my father too, man. And he was the primary recruiter when I came to USI. Probably not.
So the four guys being honored on senior day, Stephen Clay, Ben Ezegu, Ola Ajiboye, and Cardell Bailey. I don't know if we necessarily have time to give each of them their due, but what does this senior class mean to you?
Awesome guys, man, and I would say stand-up guys. Never had an issue with any of these guys for the most part, outside of some typical 21, 22-year-old stuff. But very solid guys, come from very solid families. And whatever they decide to do, man, I think they'll be successful because they are serious about the academics.
Yeah, I think Stephen Clay, when he was on this show, was talking about being a sports agent.
Yeah, yeah.
I think I could see
He's got the gift. He got the gift for guy with that. I think he can do that. I think Ola wants to run a business. Cardale's already have a he already has a clothing line.
Yeah.
And being straight business, he's almost a perfect GPA, man. He'd be a great business guy as well. But those guys would be great whatever they decide.
I like it. Any future coaches in this four, you think?
No.
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 I
wish they could coach our team in practice for one day, and I guarantee you their mind would change. Like today in practice, you saw we wasn't calling fouls. And they lost their minds because there are no fouls being called. And I said, well, does this remind you of Thursday and Saturday or all year when you don't get a call? You shut down, you know what I mean? So I was intentionally not calling fouls and see how we react and see if we can play through it, and we failed. So
fair enough.
I don't think these guys know.
No coaches.
No.
That's okay.
At least not with these four guys.
Again, it's the Stan Gerard Radio Show here on WREF. We'll take a step aside. We're going to talk about the upcoming games this weekend. Tennessee State, Tennessee Tech, when we return on WREF. Wrapping up shop here on the Stan Gerard Radio Show at Spanky's on the West Side. I'm Brad Klein. Thank you so much for tuning in, talking about the upcoming weekend for USI basketball in Tennessee State, Tennessee Tech. Coach, really appreciate the time. Senior Day, like we said, is coming up on Saturday. That's against Tennessee Tech, for those who don't know. But on Thursday, you guys play Tennessee State. I've been doing this now my third year. Here's what I know. Every time you guys play Tennessee State, something happens. There is a fight, a shoving match.
What
it's
happened,
physical.
What happened there this time?
Last time?
Yeah, at their place.
It's just a really physical game.
Oh, that's Tennessee State. That's just who they are. And they just play a different type of basketball from a physical standpoint. Even before Collins left, they had the new guy in there from Duke. They play physical. They play physical. That was a 6-point game at their place. And we were right there to take it, man, and couldn't finish down the stretch, Brad.
And ever since that game, they've really been playing well. They're one of the better teams in the OVC, too, for those who don't know. Right now, one game behind UT Martin.
10-4 in league play.
And they're tied with Southeast Missouri, so they've been really good. Tennessee Tech, that's a team that right now is just outside the OVC tournament field, a team that you guys beat on the road. So on Saturday, I think it's a pretty good matchup for you guys.
Yeah.
What do you remember about that game that you can apply for today, for this upcoming weekend?
The Tech game or the State?
Tech.
Tech game, we just played. Our pace of play was at a high level. You know, we bought Habib off the bench and got off to a good start. He came in and really ignited us offensively. But I just remember down the stretch, you know, when they tried to close that gap, our guys, they kept fighting, they kept believing, you know what I mean? And that was the biggest factor right there. And we just always say it, man, we make good basketball plays, you know what I mean? Tech is playing good ball right now. I think they won a couple in a row at 5-9 in league play. But they're playing good ball. But our guys just did a lot of things great in that game, man. And I think more importantly, we just played as one. And that's got to be the case as we approach these games this week. You know, I thought defensively against Tech, you know, we took them out of what they were running. From a scouting standpoint, and that game plan was to keep them out of the paint. And we did a good job of that in game one.
Again, this has been the San Gerard Radio Show at Spanky's on the West Side. USI playing Tennessee State on Thursday, Tennessee Tech on Saturday. Both games will be on WREF. Thank you so much for coming out, everyone. Thank you to Spanky's for hosting us. Thank you to Coach Gerard for coming down. Good night, everyone.